वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवी सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्ठिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। ओम अज्ञानतिमिरंधस्य ज्ञानांजनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदांतिकम्। नमा ओं विष्णुपादाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामीनिति नामिने। नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे। नमो महावदन्याय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नामने गौरत्विषये नमः। पंचतत्वात्मकं कृष्णं भक्तरूपस्वरूपकं भक्तावतारं भक्ताख्यं नमामि भक्तशक्तिकं। हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते। तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये। वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्त वृंदा। हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्णा हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। सर्वशास्त्राब्धि पीयूषा सर्ववैदैक सत्फला सर्वसिद्धांत रत्नाढ्या सर्वलोकैक दृक्प्रद सर्वभागवत प्राण श्रीमद्भागवतम् प्रभो कलिध्वान्तोदितादित्य श्रीकृष्ण परिवर्तिता। प्रायो गृहेषु ते चित्तम् अकाम विहितं तथा नैवाति प्रियसे विद्वन् धनेषु विदितं हि मे प्रायो गृहेषु ते चित्तम् अकाम विहितं तथा नैवाति प्रियसे विद्वन् धनेषु विदितं हि मे प्रायो गृहेषु ते चित्तम् अकाम विहितं तथा नैवाति प्रियसे विद्वन् धनेषु विदितं हि मे ते चित्तम् अकाम विहितं तथा नास्ति प्रियसे विद्वन् धनेषु विदितं हि मे प्रायो गृहेषु ते चित्तम् अकाम विहितं तथा नैवाति प्रियसे विद्वन् धनेषु विदितं हि मे माताजीस् प्रायो गृहेषु ते चित्तम् अकाम विहितं तथा नैवाति प्रियसे विद्वन् धनेषु विदितं हि मे प्रायः फॉर द मोस्ट पार्ट Griheshu in household affairs. Te, your. Chittam, mind. Akama vihitam, uninfluenced by material desires. Tatha, also. Na, not. Eva, indeed. Ati, very much. Priyase, you take pleasure with one, O wise one, dhaneshu, in the pursuit of material wealth, viditam, it is known, he, indeed, me, may, by me. Translation and purport by these disciples of His Divine Grace, S.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Even though you are mostly involved in household affairs, your mind is not affected by material desires. Nor, O learned one, do you take much pleasure in the pursuit of material wealth. This I am well aware of. Purport. Lord Krishna here reveals that in fact he was well aware of his friend's situation. Sudama was actually learned and spiritually advanced, and therefore he was not interested in ordinary sense gratification, as is the common man. Hare Krishna. Seeking blessings of all the assembled devotees and senior Vaishnavas, Srila Prabhupada disciples. So today we are discussing from the 10th canto, chapter 80, text 29, entitled Sudama Visits Lord Krishna. So, the purport is only three lines, but we shall try to understand and whatever we can assimilate with our tiny intelligence. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, whenever any speaker speaks, he first of all states his qualification by stating his disqualification. So, we have Suta Goswami in the Srimad Bhagavatam 18th chapter. He says, Aham hi prishto arya mano bhavadbhir. Achaksha Atma Vagumatriyavan Nabha Padanti Atma Samam Padatrina Tatha Samam Vishnu Gatim Vipashita. that those sages, he is addressing Shaunakadi Rishi, saying that you have all asked me this very beautiful questions and given me an opportunity to describe Srimad Bhagavatam. But the glories of the Lord is unlimited. Just like the sky is unlimited, but different birds can fly as per their capacity. So saying, even though somebody is extremely learned in Shastra, still he can explain Krishna's glory only to a little extent. It is not possible to explain him in toto. So, we had very illustrious speakers speaking about the whole pastime. Sunday was Gaurang Prabhu, then His Holiness Jadwit Swami Maharaj was speaking, then yesterday was Prem Gaurang Prabhu. So, and before that also many illustrious speakers, they have covered the whole pastime in great detail. However, I will try to make my little attempt by discussing this particular verse from three different angles of vision or three levels of understanding. So His Grace Gaurang Prabhu once taught us that how you should read Bhagavatam. So he was explaining how every purport of Bhagavatam can be understood from three levels: Adi Daivika, Adi Bhautika, and Adhyatmika. Before that, I only thought they are kalashas. But they are not just kalashas, they are a Vedic way of defining your scope of discussion. So Adi Daivika is how that pastime actually historically took place. Adi Bhautika means how it applies to the society in general or the community where you live. And Adhyatmika talks about how it applies to oneself. So whatever little time we have at our disposal, we'll try to share some thoughts. So historically, whatever is happening, we are all well aware of. Sudama, an old friend of Krishna, is coming on the persistence, loving persistence of his good wife. And Sudama was convinced only from the point of view that he'll get an opportunity to see Krishna. Other, excuses were not so heavy. But Sudama was convinced, at least I'll get to see Krishna. So he walked all the way from, his place in Porbandar till Dwarka, anticipating that hopefully Krishna will recognize me. And the Lord, he's bringing out from this pastime, as yesterday Prem Gaurang Prabhu was speaking, that practically Bhagavatam from Sukhdev Goswami's point of view was kind of done with. But then Parishat Maharaj said, we still have time. Why don't you speak something more? And this pastime actually came out of the personal inspiration of Sukhdev Goswami. He chose. Till now he was answering Parikshit's question, but this pastime was so dear to his heart that he chose to speak on Krishna Sudama's pastime. Because this pastime, in one sense, brings out the quintessence of spiritual life in the form of how Krishna is lovingly dealing with his devotee, Sudama. Now, Sudama is externally very poor. In the outside world, this pastime is very famous because of its potential of rags to riches story. Somebody who was very, very, poor, and he suddenly became overnight rich. So this is very inspiring to people. However, from a spiritual point of view, Sudama was already very rich. And that's what Krishna is kind of trying to bring out. Not trying, he is bringing out this point in his, how he was externally poor, but internally he was extremely rich. And therefore, Madhav, the husband of the goddess of fortune, was willing to sit at his lotus feet and wash his feet. Because, otherwise it is not possible. And Lord, in the subsequent verses, he is actually going to bring about the glory of Sudama's love and devotion. Just like Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu brought out the glory of love and devotion of Sridhar Kholavecha. What was that wealth? That wealth was the exclusive devotion that Sudama had in his heart. But before that, Krishna is actually making a very pertinent point which might be applicable to us as a sadhakas. He uses the word akam vihitam. He was freed of material desires. In spite of his physical situation, he says, praya griheshu te chittam akam vihitam tata. Although you are situated in a situation where it is quite easy to cultivate material desires, you are free of them. He is qualifying. He is not just saying you are pure, but your purity has a special significance because of the situation in which you are pure. It's like saying it's one thing to chant 16 rounds in a brahmachari ashram and peacefully we have allotted time of 2 hours, and it is another thing to chant 16 rounds with somebody working 13 hours a day in the corporations and then still keeping up his vows and morning sadhana. Then it's like more credible. Of course, in either case, we should continue to chant 16 rounds, whether we are comfortable or in a distressed situation. So here, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur actually says that Sudama is not revealing his heart, but Krishna is viditam hime. He knows exactly what is there in the heart of Sudama, and therefore determines in his own heart that now I'm going to show the glory of Sudama to all the residents of Dwarka and also for all time to come for all creation. What did actually Sudama stood for? And just to make sure that he does not minimize Sudama's position, he said, I will not reveal his desire to anyone, neither I will give him charity externally. And our acharyas explained that how Krishna was actually thinking that if I give him something in charity, I have nothing to repay him in reciprocation of the love that Sudama is offering me, that unconditional love. And we'll see in the future pastime, future verses, how Krishna will actually eat those broken rice and Mother Rukmani holds his hand back. But Krishna said, I'll be ashamed if I give him something in charity in public. He's just so exalted in his love for me. I can't. And therefore, he said, I'll do it incognito, not to undermine the love of Sudama. So we see that from an Adi Devi platform. This is what is happening. Very wonderful. In Dwarka, in the palace of Mata Rukmani, one of the most opulent palaces. From the Adi Bhautika platform, we can see how does it apply to current society or ISKCON in particular, our particular society. We see here an example of friendship which is based on very deep spiritual foundational principles. In the Shastras, we also see the examples of friendship based on material considerations. And there are several of them. But one of the very famous examples is that of Dronacharya and Maharaj Drupad. I may not go into the details of this story as it's quite popular, but this whole pastime of Dronacharya and Drupad, how they were good friends when they were in the Gurukul, but then one of them rose high and became a king, another became a simple Brahmin. And when Dronacharya approached Drupad for help, which he himself had promised earlier, he was put off. And the only thing Drupad said was, friendship can be amongst equals only. And that made a self-controlled Brahmin like Dronacharya into a Brahmin which was burning with revenge fantasies. So therefore we could see, and the whole incident followed up, how he became the martial arts teacher of the Kuru race only for the purpose of taking this revenge. So we could see that material friendship or friendship based on material considerations in some cases, if not all, has the potential to bring out the worst from each party. Drupada exhibited his worst. He performed big yajna just to get a son who can kill Dronacharya. And Drona became, from a self-controlled, peaceful Brahmana, he just had such strong emotions against Drupad. But similar kind of thing is happening in the life of Krishna and Sudama. Both were in a similar situation when they were, young boys. They studied in the Gurukul of Sandipani Muni. Both of them got similar education. But one of them became Dwarkadhish, another was simply a poor Brahmin. However, their relationship was not affected by their growth in their personal lives. Sometimes it happens when somebody becomes extremely successful and the other person is not so successful, we kind of, try not to show our connection with that person. It happens in even colleges sometimes. A boy who has come from, nothing against it, but from a remote area in Maharashtra, and he comes in a prestigious institute, he's studying, he has some status quo, and some of his relatives come from the village, bringing some laddus in a dabba, but which is tied up in a potli. And if the person doesn't have a very strong culture, he will actually try to avoid bringing attention of his friends towards that relationship. It has happened. They fear, what will my friends think if they understand that this gentleman I am connected to. But here Krishna and Sudama didn't have such feelings. We have this example of Srila Prabhupada. He was in Vrindavan. His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj mentions this pastime in incident in the book The Journey Home, where Srila Prabhupada is in Radha Damodar temple, and his old friend Akinchan Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj, he comes to know that my dear friend Swami Bhaktivedanta has come from the west, and he rushes to meet him. And Prabhupada at that time is an international, very powerful leader, a guru, and he's addressing his disciples. But as soon as Akinchan Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj comes in, they immediately rise, they embrace, they both sit on the same asana, and they were oblivious to everybody else around them. Just patting on their laps and talking in Bengali, and then they were like in another world completely. So we see when this is the quality for Vaishnava, that even if success comes to him because he does not consider himself to be the doer, that success doesn't affect his heart. He goes high in success, but he goes deeper in his heart because of his Krishna consciousness. But easier said than done. So our personal relationship, what we can learn now, we cannot, it's extremely difficult. Probably we are somewhere between Drupada and Drona and Prabhupada and Akinchan Krishnadas Babaji are somewhere in between. Somewhere it hits our head. Sometimes we hit the floor because of failures in life. But something we can at least attempt to make in our life, that how our personal relationships in the community of devotees or with missionaries should not be affected, ideally, by our success or failure in the mission. But at times it's very difficult to keep two things separate. Once His Grace Gaurang Prabhu again was giving a class to some of us, I mean it was a smaller meeting, and he was holding this book, this Bhagavatam. This picture he showed us, and he said, this is the, you know, perfect mood of someone trying to stay in a devotee community. Being in the mood of a servant of the servant of the servant of the servant. Probably in this temple hall, this phrase has been repeated the maximum number of times. If you look at the words which has been repeated the maximum number of times, it will be Trinadapi Sunichena Taroriva Sahishnuna Amanina Manadena Kirtanya Sadahari, establishing the significance. And His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj, in his last visit, he was explaining that how you cannot go around this verse. You can't escape it. You can't miss it. You have to follow it, only then you move forward. And this is the prayer of the devotees since time immemorial. Mat janmana falamidam madukaita bare mat prarthaniya mat anugrahena esha eva. So the Bhritya Bhritya Paricharak Bhritya Bhritya Bhrityasya Bhritya Itimam Smaralokanatha. Beautiful verse in Mukundamala Sotra establishing how the perfection of one's spiritual, you know, progress is to become a servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant. Dhruv Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj, everybody who is getting darshan of Krishna is actually praying for association of devotees. So once Janani Vas Prabhu was mentioning that we have already been given the highest. Now we have to qualify ourselves for that. Bhakti moho pravatam tvai me prasango bhuyadananta mahatam amalashayanam yenanja solubanamuru vyasanam bhavabdim neshe bhavad gunakatham pratapanamatta. So he's saying, I want, Dhru Maharaj is seeing Vishnu, which he was hankering for. He had all desires to be fulfilled by him, but what is he asking? Association of devotees. And not just anyone. Association of devotee means Bhakti muhu pravahatam tvai me prasanga, who are constantly relishing the discussion of your pastimes. He qualifies himself. Special kind of devotees who are constantly immersed in glorifying your pastimes. That's where, in that association, one can actually transcend the cycle of birth and death. So, the Lord is actually showing by his own example the mood in which one can live in a community where we can aspire to follow. And this verse, Krishna, the Lord also says, Naivati priyase vidvan dhaneshu viditam hime. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that by using the word praya and iti, he is stating basically that you are desiring material wealth only because your wife has told you. I know that. I am not misunderstanding your intentions. And therefore I'll definitely give you also. But at the same time, Srimad Bhagavatam also gives us a very descriptive analysis of what may go wrong in one's process of accumulating wealth in this world. And we have this pastime of Avanti Brahman in the 11th canto. He says, Arthasya sadhane siddhe utkarshe rakshane vyaye nasha upabhog ayasas trasas chinta brahmoninam. In earning, attainment, increase, protection, expense, loss and enjoyment of wealth, all men experience four things. Labor, fear, anxiety and delusion. For details you can contact Prabhu with all the graphic examples he can teach you. And then he goes on to explain how, what are the 15 disadvantages of accumulating unnecessary wealth which is not engaged in Krishna service. And he's explaining theft, violence, speaking lies, duplicity, lust, anger, perplexity, pride, quarreling, enmity, faithlessness, envy, and the dangers caused by women, gambling and intoxication are the 15 undesirable qualities that contaminate men because of greed for wealth. So Lord is telling Sudama, you are free from this tendency. Therefore you are rich actually. Although he didn't have physical wealth. He said you have this detachment in your heart. You are not attracted to it. That's a sign that you are actually, you know, doesn't mean that wealth is not important. It's extremely important, provided we also find its proper utility in service to the Lord. Because excessive opulence may actually make one offensive towards devotees. And we see that example of Maharaj Rahuguna. In his conversation with Jad Bharat, he actually, when he comes back to his senses, he does make that statement that sometimes the Kshatriya race, because of being puffed up of their opulence, they may not understand the glory and the power and the potency of these powerful Brahmanas and Vaishnavas. And he's saying, Naham Vishankhe Suraraja Vajran Nyatraksha Shulan Nayamasya Dandat Na Agni Ark Soma Nilavitta Pastra Shankhe Brisham Brahma Kulava Manat. That, my dear Jad Bharat, I am not afraid of the thunderbolt of Indra or the trident of, you know, Yamraj, Yamdanda, or the trident of Lord Shiva, none of these things. But I am actually afraid of committing an offense at the lotus feet of Vaishnavas. This is a very healthy kind of fear which can actually make one safe. And Avanti Brahman then says that how wealth, because of disputes, even one's very close family members can actually become his arch enemies just over a farthing. And last year we had a case in Bombay. I don't want to get into the details of the case, but all of us know how one lady actually murdered her own daughter just for property and wealth. That can happen. And the third understanding by which we can understand is the adhyatmika, how it applies to oneself. So as sadhakas, we are not on the pure devotee platform. We don't faint in ecstasy when we chant Hare Krishna. We generally fall asleep, isn't it? Our enthusiasm keeps going up and down with a higher frequency than our electricity supply also. Fast. So what do? As sadhakas, we are all aspiring to have a pure heart, akama vihitam. So how to be free of these material desires? And it is such a difficult thing, all of us can actually realize, have at least an understanding that anybody who has tried to control the mind understands how difficult this whole thing is. The whole, everything in ISKCON, Krishna consciousness is super appealing. But this one thing of controlling the mind, oh my God, it can just create such disturbances. And the very fact that we have fought so many battles, so many times, to finally wrench ourselves of these impure tendencies of the mind shows that it's not so easy. Like I remember in our childhood days, we used to see our mother working in kitchen. So she would sometimes mix either some salt if she's making some paratha, or if she's in a dough, wheat dough, or if we are traveling long, so she will add some milk into it so that the pudi is soft. So she will mix all that stuff, and sometimes I would ask her, थोड़ा नमक कम कर सकते हैं क्या इसमें से? कैन यू नाउ रिमूव सम सॉल्ट विच यू हैव नीडेड इन टू द डो? एंड मदर सेज नो, इट्स नॉट पॉसिबल, इट्स इम्पॉसिबल, यू कांट. सो द एंटेंगलमेंट ऑफ द मटीरियल माइंड एंड द सेंस ऑब्जेक्ट इज समवॉट सिमिलर टू दिस, इफ नॉट मोर कॉम्प्लिकेटेड. इट इज सो डीपली इंट्रेंच्ड इन द कॉन्शियसनेस. Once upon a time, a student came to his guru and he said, Guruji, what is this? Every day you talk about control your mind, control your mind, control your mind. Aur kuch hai batane ko? Do you have something else to say? Only this mind control, mind control, mind control. So guru became very compassionate on the student and he said, you come tomorrow, same time, I'll teach you something new. But till that time, I'll give you one exercise which you have to do. I said, fine. Last assignment? Yes, last assignment. So by the time you come next day, same place, don't think of the red-faced monkey. Don't think about the red-faced monkey. What most of us are thinking right now? Red-faced monkey. And this gentleman was trying to withdraw his mind, and he couldn't. And next day he came with his humble state of mind, fell flat at the lotus feet of his guru and said, please instruct me. How do I deal with this mind? And it's not a problem just with us sadhakas. This has been discussed in Srimad Bhagavatam. We have this, in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Krishna is relaxed after killing all the demons, after sending all the devotees back. He's in a relaxed mood, giving his final session before he departs. Whatever he wants to tell for any jiva to come back to the spiritual world, he's giving an Uddhav Gita. And Uddhav Gita is somewhat even bigger than Bhagavad Gita. So it has much more details about, you know, what are the various traps and everything. And he's explaining. And the Lord actually explains how does material desires actually develop in the heart of a jiva. And he gives four steps. The beautiful verses, but he says, first of all, my dear Uddhav, because of his anyatha buddhi, aham iti anyatha buddhi, pramattasya yatha hridi. Because of his wrong intelligence, he starts misidentifying with this material world. Pramattasya. He starts misidentifying with this material world. And when such false knowledge arises, then what happens? The cause of great suffering, which is mode of passion, Rajo Ghoram, he says, pervades the mind. Rajo Ghoram. Very powerful, very intense kind of mode actually, pervades the mind. Then the mind, which is Rajo Yuktasya, the ghor rajo has invaded and the mind has accepted it. Rajo yuktasya manasaha, he becomes absorbed in sankalpa and vikalpaka. He starts making plans for his material enjoyment. And by doing that, unlimited material desires starts working. It starts coming up. He says, dussaha, unbearable, syad, dhi durumati. Why? He says that dussaha dhyana, it happens because of guna dhyana, because he is fixing his consciousness, his meditation on the gunas. So what happens actually when somebody contemplates sense objects? He's actually getting entangled with the gunas. Otherwise the same sense object for another person may not incite such kind of meditation, because he doesn't choose to meditate on the guna. So he says, guna dhyanat. So there is misidentification. Then there is mode of passion which increases. Then it agitates the mind and unbearable desires start manufacturing in a system. At this stage it is almost impossible. And we see the example of Ajamil. Something similar happened in his life. And Krishna has actually explained this whole system even in Gita. Jhayato vishyan pumsam sangaste shupajayate sangat sanjayate kamat kamat krodo vijayate krodhat bhavati sammoha sammoha smriti vibhrama smriti brahmashad buddhinasho buddhinashad pranashyati. Shloka is easier to quote, but it has a very deadly repercussions. And Chaitanya Charitamrita explains that after the first two stages, jhayato vishyanasya sangaste shupajayate, after that attachment develops, till that time you have the control over the mind to pull it back. Once it goes beyond it, it's almost irreversible. It's almost irreversible. So he explains that in great detail in his book called Leadership Sutras from Bhagavad Gita, Sutra number 4. mind your mind. You might like to read that. But very graphic understanding he gives. So the four Kumaras actually ask this question to Lord Brahma. So Uddhava is asking, that sounds like very difficult. To dislodge the mind from the sense objects, very difficult. How to do it? And Lord is saying, he's acknowledging, Uddhav, what you are asking is actually sukshmam. Sukshmam means it is very subtle and therefore difficult to decipher how the whole thing works. And he quotes the conversation which happened between the four Kumaras and Lord Brahma. And for what purpose the Lord actually descended in the form of an Hamsa incarnation. And he's saying, Sanak Rishi, the Sanak Kumar is actually saying, Guneshu avishate cheto gunash chetasi cha prabho. My dear Lord Brahma, we are perplexed with this problem that these minds are naturally attracted to sense objects. They are attracted towards sense objects. And the sense objects also enter the mind in the form of desires. Katham anyonya santyago mumukshur atitirshaho. Therefore, somebody who is desiring liberation, how does he break this anyonya, these mutual relationships? Anyonya santyago mumukshur atitirshaho. One who is desiring to get liberated, how does he cut this connection between the mind and the senses? And this word actually you will come across in Bhagavatam several times. Anyonya. Anyonya means mutually there is a reciprocation and there is an interaction. And Brahmaji was not able to answer. And Bhagavatam says because his intelligence was affected by his works of creation, he couldn't answer. He couldn't really understand what exactly the answer for this problem could be. And therefore they all approach. They all actually start meditating upon Lord Krishna. And at that time, a Hamsa incarnation appeared and they are not able to understand who is this. And therefore they ask several questions, who are you? And several questions they ask, and the Lord establishes his identity. And he tells them, basically tells them four things. It's an elaborate philosophical discussion that goes forward. But he tells them, first of all, you should develop a transcendental vision. By understanding that none of these things are separate from me. Easy, isn't it? Develop a transcendental vision. And once His Grace Radheshyamra was actually mentioning in his class in Govardhan Eco Village about how we have to actually understand we are qualitatively one with the Lord. Because if we don't understand we are spiritual, we will be tempted to degrade ourselves in association with material energy. But if you understand we are actually spiritual beings, even if it is intellectually, we will be, restrained from engaging in material kind of, or, sense gratification which drags our consciousness to material platform, rather lift himself spiritually. And then he says, you should realize that this connection between the material mind and sense objects has happened because of your prolonged engagement in these activities of sense gratification. And again, this verse called Dhyayato Vishayan Asya Samsmritir Na Nivartate. This phrase in Bhagavatam comes in Lord Kapila's instructions to Mother Devahuti and again in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, which essentially means that the material existence of a jiva continues because of his contemplation on sense objects. Not necessarily enjoyment. Even the contemplation can hold the jiva in this material world. It's super deadly in the sense. It's really intense problem that we are actually facing. So then he says you should renounce and you should develop a higher taste. Right? Easy. So it's simple. Develop transcendental vision. Realize that mind and senses are lodged into each other because of sense gratification. Renounce and just develop higher taste. Hari bol. But this we came to know in the first week of coming to ISKCON, right? But still the struggle is so intense. So, Mother Devahuti also asks a similar question to Lord Kapila. She's saying, Purusham Prakritir Brahman na vimunchati karhichit. O Lord Kapila, this material energy doesn't seem to leave the spirit soul, the jiva. Anyonya apashrayatvacha nityatvadanayo prabho. They are mutually interconnected.
the jiva is attracted to material energy and material energy doesn't want to leave him. Even if jiva wants to escape, material energy doesn't want to leave him. How does the whole thing work? How will he ever come back to the spiritual realm? How will he ever rise from his material situation to a spiritual, realization state? And Sridhar Swami actually comments in this kind of, she gives example of just like there is police department and criminal. Just like in a city there is police department and you are living in that city, not necessarily mean you are a criminal or you will be caught by the police department. Only when you do crime, you are caught by the police, generally. So he makes the point that a pure devotee may also stay in a situation where three modes are all pervading, but because he doesn't interact with them, he doesn't get entrapped by them. So you can't change your physical situation immediately, but the consciousness is what one has to work on immediately. And he gives a process, very mercifully. He says, Animitta animittena swadharmena malatmana tivraya mai bhaktya cha shuta sambhrataya chiram. Tivraya mai bhaktya cha, one should perform devotional service intensely. Not for 1 week, 1 month, 1 year. He says, Shuta Sambrataya Chiram, for a long period of time. With the habit of hearing about Krishna again and again and again and again for a long period of time. Because it becomes a challenge, after coming to the Krishna Consciousness Movement, spending 7-8 years reading Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, hearing lectures, and then almost the content is same everywhere, isn't it? But it is like measuring the length and breadth of a reservoir. Reading 12 cantos of Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, we were discussing that with the first batch of Vidyapeet when they were passing out. It is like measuring the length and breadth of a reservoir. Depth is still remaining. This Prabhupada's purports, Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, may have limited length and breadth. It's bottomless, but. But you can actually dive deep into this ocean of nectar only if, just like in a scuba diving, you have an oxygen cylinder. Radhadhiti Prabhu once told me that they also tie some weights to their waist so that he goes down. And only at the bottom of the ocean you find jewels. They are not on the surface. Surface is a ruffle. But you go down bottom, you find jewels. Therefore, in a community of devotees, Vaishnav Seva is like that oxygen cylinder, which will help you go deeper into the ocean of this nectar in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita. And the sense of responsibility that this institution offers is like that weight belt. You'll be forced to take shelter. You'll be forced to go deeper into this nectar of Srimad. And that's where we'll get the realization of some gels of realization. And one tiny flower of realization coming from the soil, so Bhaktivedanta purports, is sufficient to actually make a soul oblivious of the prolonged exposure to the stench of material sense gratification. That's the power of Srimad Bhagavatam. It's Krishna himself. So he's saying, Shuta Sambrataya Chiram, you hear for a long period of time. And Tivra Bhakti. So Tivra Bhakti doesn't mean shaking our head too violently during japa. That may not be necessarily Tivra Bhakti. Regulation and consistency. We keep doing the same thing even if we don't feel like doing it, and day after day after day after day after day after day after day, and then eventually, and we have so many examples of that kind of practice amidst us. So he explains that how only by the mercy of the Lord one can actually transcend this interaction. And even Rishabhdev in the fifth canto explains, Preetirna Yavan Mai Vasudeve Namuchyate Deha Yogena Tavat. All these things is fine, my dear sons. But unless you have love for Vasudev, you can't transcend this material existence. That's the bottom line. You have to hit it. Otherwise, we are not going back. He explains that to Rishabhdev. But these solutions seem so far, isn't it? Love for Krishna and then, so many things. Sometimes when we are approached, like personally speaking myself, we are suddenly approached for some seva, either in the altar or somewhere else, we suddenly kind of, at least myself, I pull back and give at least 5 reasons why I cannot do, and then reflect upon probably I can do, and then with a lot of... So we are too far from these kind of realizations. So Krishna is very merciful and he is giving. That how, in the Gita he explains, Mai eva mana adatsva mai buddhim niveshaya. So you just focus your mind and intelligence on me and you will come back to me. First level. Probably Arjuna became little morose or whatever. And then he gives the second level. He says, Atha chittam samadhatum na shaknoshi mai sthiram abhyas yoge natato mam ichhaptum dhananjaya. He says, if you are not able to completely fix your mind and intelligence on me, my dear Arjun, follow the regulative principles of devotional service, perform devotional service and regulation, and develop a desire to attain me. Mam ichhaptum dhananjaya. Then eventually you will come to the first platform. But that intense desire will develop because of following the regulations of bhakti. So by following the process of devotional service, a good question that we can ask ourselves is, am I becoming more eager for the limbs of devotional service? Am I becoming more eager for association with devotees? Am I more enthusiastic for reading and hearing? Am I more enthusiastic for chanting and serving? If that is happening, we are in the right path. Because that's what Krishna is actually promising us. That mam ichhaptum dhananjaya. And in the pastime of Narad Muni, he explains that just by developing this desire, sakrad yad darshitam rupam, etat kamayate anagha, matkama shanakai sadhu, sarvan munchati hirchayam. That my dear Narad Muni, just by developing this intense desire to attain me, that desire can purify of material desires. So that is what is supposed to happen in our life. Okay, we cannot have a pure heart, but at least we can follow the process of devotional service with great intensity and thus develop a desire to attain Krishna. So, it's a beautiful purport Prabhupada writes, but in order to perform this intense service, the necessary item to achieve that kind of service, especially when reciprocation doesn't seem to be happening immediately, is enthusiasm. Enthusiasm on the part of a practitioner that is enthusiastic to go through the process of devotional service. And Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj writes in his beautiful, one of his books, he says, each of these enemies, was talking of lust, anger, greed, envy, pride, illusion, each of these enemies can infiltrate our minds and engulf our consciousness, particularly when we lack enthusiasm. He makes this point. This should help us understand the power of enthusiasm, because it builds our spiritual immune system and provides a unique type of protection. It develops a spiritual immune system and develops a unique type of protection. When we are enthusiastic, we are more mindful and grateful. And we have more short and long-term goals, which keeps us excited. And most important, we have a powerful internal dialogue, how we talk to ourselves. Most of the time it is negative, even about ourselves. So you have a powerful internal dialogue, but in the absence of enthusiasm, we will experience more disturbances because we will not have the potency to dispel the attacks. It's like a soldier on the, you know, border. If he is not enthusiastic to shoot the, you know, enemy, then he's dead before he was even aware of. So therefore he says, how to maintain enthusiasm? He says, introspect about things, situations and events that make you enthusiastic. Reflect upon the time when you are most enthusiastic. What is it in Krishna consciousness which makes us enthusiastic? Have a, you know, like yesterday also, Prem Gaurangpur in previous class also mentioned about the necessity of challenging ourselves and developing a sense of enthusiasm, a sense of achievement. And second thing he says is, regulation in spiritual practice will help maintain enthusiasm, because our spiritual activities will keep the consciousness in a positive direction. This morning program which Srila Prabhupada has given is a phenomenal weapon against illusion. It's just a phenomenal weapon against illusion. I mean, it's just not possible that one will not cut through it eventually if one takes to the process seriously. So he's saying that. And by our enthusiasm, we will either attract Krishna's grace or repel Krishna's grace. When Krishna will actually observe that he is enthusiastic to receive the opportunity to serve that I am offering him, Krishna will bestow him with more grace. But if he sees he is not interested, then grace will be pulled back. And then we are vulnerable to the attacks of Maya. So Krishna is watching us. Viditam Hime. And it is observed, and we have all experienced that sometimes even after knowing the philosophy, prolonged practice of devotional service, all of us here, some of us, at least I can definitely call for myself, over a period of time we start, you know, experiencing some troubles on the, you know, either mental plane or intellectual plane or whatever, and we are not able to understand what the reason could be. So in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's past, in this pastime of Ramachandrapuri kind of offending Madhavendrapuri, so this verse comes. Eyai Shri Madhavendra Shripad Upeksha Karila Sei Aparade Ihar Vasana Janmila. These material desires started erupting in his heart again after he offended a great devotee. So that's like a challenge. Staying so close with devotees, that's like a constant challenge, constant alertness, how not to offend Vaishnavas. And it is such a critical thing that Mahaprabhu said, if somebody just chants Hare Krishna and does not offend devotees, spiritual perfection is guaranteed. It is such a crucial thing. So, we are not all alone in our struggle against our mind and senses. The Lord actually descends time and again to remove all the obstacles which may come in our enthusiastic practice of devotional service. Paritranaya sadhuna vinashaya cha dushkratam. And not only the Lord, but even the pure devotees actually interfere in our lives and takes lot of personal inconveniences and sacrifice on their part to give us a situation where we can enthusiastically practice devotional service. When Karbhajan Muni is explaining the various yuga avatars in the 11th canto Srimad Bhagavatam, he, while explaining Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he says, Tyaktva sudustija surep sitaraja lakshmim dharmishtha aryavachasa yadagadaranyam maya mrigam daita ipsita anvadhavat vande mahapurushte charanaravindam. So tyaktva sudustija surep sitaraja lakshmim, he gave up his comfortable family life, wife like goddess, who was goddess of fortune. Dharmishta Arya Vachasaya Dagadaranyam, to fulfill the words of the Brahmana who cursed him that he will now never be able to enjoy material gratification, he left for the forest to chase after the conditioned souls who were running after Maya, being illusioned by them. I offer my respectful obeisance to that Supreme Lord. And I'll just reflect and I'll conclude with this, how Srila Prabhupada's life also kind of followed the same principle. Tyaktuva sudustyaja surepsita raja lakshmim, the great demigods and the great personalities who do not get an opportunity to even enter Vrindavan, that's the place where Srila Prabhupada was living in his old age. Sudustyaja, something very difficult to give up, the comfort, he gave it up. Dharmishta Aryavachasaya Dagadaranyam, and to follow the words of his spiritual master Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he went to the concrete jungles of the west. To do what? Maya Mrigam, the human beings who had actually become toys in the hands of the illusion. Daita Ipsita Manvadhavat, he chased after them and he chased so fast that in 12 years he circled the globe 14 times. If you look at how Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu empowered Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada could actually, in one sense, you know, seeing, he did much more. And therefore, with this spirit of gratitude and, you know, this enthusiasm, we can actually try to at least aspire akama vihitam tatha, to gradually, progressively, shane shane, move towards those qualities which are extremely dear to Krishna and which can actually give us entrance into the realm of bhakti. And once Govind Prabhu was quoting His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj, and he said, he asked Maharaj, Maharaj, how do we make advancement in spiritual life? And he said, always remain excited, but always remain humble. And if you do that, you'll make advancement in spiritual life. I'll end here. Thank you very much. Thank you for your kind and patient attention. We are over time, so I'm not sure if we can take comments or questions. Are there any comments or any corrections anybody would like to mention? Thank you very much. Granth Raj Mad Bhagavat Mahapurana ki Jai Srila Prabhupada ki Jai Nitai Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Gaur.